The first easing of the COVID-19 restrictions under the government's plan to reopen the country come into effect from today. Hardware stores, garden centres, farmers' markets will be among the businesses that can resume, as well as opticians, bicycle and motor repair, IT stores, electrical and office products, all the while maintaining social distancing. The plan also permits the phased return of outdoor workers, including those in construction. The Minister for Health, Simon Harris, has said the coming days need to be approached with care and caution. According to the latest figures last evening, a further 10 people with coronavirus have died, bringing the total here to 1,543. The number of confirmed cases increased by 64 yesterday. Minister Simon Harris joins here in studio. A very good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning,
invited our listeners to submit questions for you today, and I'll come to those in just a moment. But first, we're taking today the first tentative steps towards reopening the country. The next stage, if all goes to plan, will be in 3 weeks' time. What needs to happen? What do you need to see over the next 3 weeks to ensure that we can maintain the easing that's taking place today and move to the next phase?
Yeah, look, today is an important day. I've said I'm both pleased and nervous. I'm pleased that we've gotten to this point because of the incredible efforts of the Irish people in suppressing this virus. I'm nervous because the virus hasn't gone away. There still isn't a vaccine. There's still people in our country getting very sick and there's still people dying every day. So we all need to now approach these next couple of weeks showing, I suppose, that collective sense of cop on. Just because somewhere is open doesn't mean we need to go. Just because we can go somewhere, it becomes more and more and more important that we practice social distancing, that we wash our hands, that we do our cough etiquette correctly, and that we stay at home except for the circumstances in which we can leave home. If we get these next 3 weeks right, though, what it means is this. It means as a country, we will have found a way of trying to live successfully and safely alongside the virus. We've seen very encouraging trends in relation to ICU admissions. Last month, there were 160 people in ICU on the 9th of April. Yesterday, there were 54. We only saw 64 new cases of the virus yesterday compared to 1,068 on the 15th of April. So we'll be watching all these figures. What do the ICU trends look like? The hospital admissions, the number of new cases, that crucial OR number. These are all things that Dr. Tony Hoolan's team will be monitoring. But it is in our hands. Every single person listening to this programme can play a role. If we don't get ahead of ourselves, go about our business in an appropriate and safe manner and practice that good public health advice, we can move forward with this plan and do more and more every couple of weeks and months.
The other key element is testing and tracing.
Yes.
Are we in a position today, because it's not perhaps clear from what the HSE was saying over the weekend, are we in a position today to say that yes, within a 72-hour period, this is the golden period, if you like, somebody can be tested and the process can be completed and their contacts traced?
Yes, so I mean, what the HSE have said is as of from this week, they expect to be able to do that within 90% of cases. That's a recognition that there could be a small number of cases where there's more complexity. We've stuck with testing and tracing when other countries have thrown in the towel when the going's gotten tough. The HSE has built up a really, really good system, but this is an area that's going to require constant vigilance, constant improvement, and we've got to keep working at it. So testing and tracing is a major, major focus for the HSE, and there's really good work being done.
Let me come to our listeners' questions. The first is from somebody who calls us to say, my wife and I are both 79 and are cocooning since the beginning of March in my Kerry family home. Their question is, can they return to their principal residence in Dublin, which they need to visit for a variety of reasons, and then go back to Kerry after a couple of days?
So the short answer is they definitely can't go back. So, I mean, and I know, look, this is the real challenge and pain of the virus, that people, you know, find themselves maybe, you know, having gone to visit relatives or gone to visit family and not being able to get back to where they need to. And I get that, and I get that the challenge. But the reality of the situation is we need people to keep within 5 kilometres of where they're currently residing to stop the spread of the virus. Now, of course, there are extenuating circumstances. Mm. If you need, for care reasons or medical reasons, to get back somewhere else, that's fully understandable. But you can't obviously move from one house and back
because
again.
Because another question says, what permission guidance can government give a cocooner again who wants to get back to their own home, having been stuck in another person's home since mid-March? This caller is 78 and desperate to get home.
So if you need to get back to your home, and in that circumstance, it sounds like there could well be extenuating circumstances. You perhaps went to visit somebody, you now need to get back to your own home for a variety of reasons, perhaps including being close to your own doctor and your own health services. The advice there would be to make sure that whoever brings you home is already a close contact. And then obviously when you get at home, to stay at home. So again, we need to exercise a degree of common sense here. We're trying to ensure people don't move further than 5 kilometres from where they are, but there will always be a small number of cases where it'll be necessary to do so.
Right. And Gardaí have, if you're stopped by the Gardaí have discretion in those circumstances to allow you to complete your journey.
They do, and in fairness to the Gardaí, they've shown you know, a real engaging way of policing here. They're not there to try and catch anybody out. They're there to try and keep us safe.
Right, and the powers that they got to do this, those have been renewed by you, have they? They expired today?
Yes, last night I signed the statutory instruments, the regulations to extend those powers. So it does remain the law of the land that you need to stay within 5 kilometres of your home, except for the exceptions to that.
And is it the law of the land now that people coming into the country have to answer the questions that will be asked of them about where they're going to stay and will they be isolating?
So we're working on the regulations to make that the case, and it is my hope that we'd be able to sign those regulations this week. As you come into our country today, you are expected to self-isolate. You are expected to fill out a passenger locator form and provide the contact details of where you're self-isolating. But I want to put that on a legal footing, and I'm hoping to be in a position to do that this week.
Right. Another question. Could you help me understand when I can drive to the sea, which is within 5 kilometres of my home?
From today. So beaches are now open again, and you can obviously take exercise within your 5 kilometres. So that to me sounds like a situation resolved from today. Obviously practice the social distancing when you get there.
Yeah, somebody else on the 5K question. Can you please explain the rationale for the 5 kilometre travel limit currently in operation? And the context of their query is that their golf club is about 17 kilometres from their home. Each of us, this caller says, could drive separately, change in the car park, play their round, then go home.
Yeah, look, I've gotten this a lot, so two parts to that question. I mean, one, why are we doing the 5 kilometres? Well, firstly, we've got to remember the virus isn't out there somewhere. The virus is potentially within us. And any time we leave our home, we run the risk of spreading the virus. So we're asking people to stay at home, but if they have to leave home for those limited reasons, to stay as close to home within 5 kilometres as possible. People often say, well, look, would it not be okay if I just did this or if I just did that? And I get it. On an individual level, that sounds like very little risk. The problem is if you do it, it means lots of other people are able to do it, and it increases a lot of risk.
But they're sitting in their car and they're wondering, you know, how can they spread the virus from the privacy of their own car?
But you do it for golf, and next people are going to say, well, the playground is 7 kilometres away, can I do it for that? And next people are going to say, would it be okay if we opened this shop and that shop? And it's the cumulative effect of all of that movement. Extra movement brings about extra risk. So what we're trying to do here is move in a slow and steady way. And remember, we hope if we get these 3 weeks right, Brian, that I'd be back here in 3 weeks saying it's now safe to move on and do another bit, and that the limit then would go from 5 kilometres to potentially 20.
On the same theme, can you address the question of when cemeteries will reopen? It seems unduly cruel, this caller says, to prevent people visiting the grave of a loved one.
Absolutely, it really does. So I did ask about the issue of cemeteries. So again, a cemetery is obviously an outdoor area. So we believe from a public health point of view, it would be perfectly safe to open cemeteries from today. Obviously, these are matters for individual local authorities. But again, there needs to be compassion and cop-on shown here. I think cemeteries should be able to reopen. Obviously, it's very important when people go to the cemetery to practice the social distancing to keep the 2 metres.
And the five kilometre limit as well.
And the 5 kilometre, that does still apply.
Please ask for further details on how many can attend small weddings after July 20th. Thanks. Small. I mean, what is a small wedding?
Look, I mean, I can only imagine people around the country. Indeed, I know a few of them. I was due to be a groomsman at a wedding not too far apart, and we had to remind the groom that he might have to move the wedding, and they've moved it into next year. So I know a lot of people are making decisions, big decisions, as they try to plan their weddings. At the moment, I can't give you this morning on Morning Ireland a specific number, but what I can say is this: we're going to work on guidance over the next couple of weeks so we can provide more information in relation to weddings. But if I'm really honest with you, when I talk to public health doctors now, I think it's highly unlikely that we'd be in a position where there'd be anything like 100 people being able to be at a wedding in July. It's likely to be a very, very small number of people. So look, we'll try and provide more guidance
on this
in the coming weeks. And we will put a number or certainly a range on it. A lot of it will depend on the behaviour of the virus, but I know this is causing a lot of angst for a lot of people planning their big day.
All right. Can you please seek clarity on reducing the restrictions for those cocooning, those with underlying health conditions? When is that going to end? Because the plan doesn't actually specify, from my reading of it anyway, an end date for cocooning.
No, it's a fair point. But let's remember, so cocooning, which is a word I really don't like, but I mean the idea of giving people who are older, or people who have vulnerable conditions, giving them a little bit more public health advice on how to protect themselves. This is not a legal requirement. It's our doctors sharing the best information with them. And that best information is, if you're over 70 or have a medical underlying condition, you are best to stay at home. We've already, though, shown now that we recognise people need to take a bit of exercise. So we've provided more guidance on that. In the next phase of the plan, in 3 weeks, if we get to this point, we'll be able to say to people who are cocooning, it's safe to go to some shops again, or it's safe to have a small number of people in to visit your home. So what you will see with cocooning is it will evolve as the virus evolves. So as we get this virus into a better place, we will be providing more and more guidance to older people as to how they can safely go about their lives. I've got to be honest, though, for as long as the virus is here with us, we are going to need to continue to make sure we do take extra measures to protect older people, because we know they are more susceptible to this virus.
May I ask you to confirm when you feel it will be possible to hug our grandchildren again? They're in Dublin, we're in Cork. We have been cocooning for the past 10 weeks. We've got quite a few questions along these lines.
Yeah, this question gets me every time. I think it's heartbreaking. It's gut-wrenching. It shows the cruelty of this virus. There are grandparents who haven't been able to hug their grandkids. There are also grandparents who haven't seen their newborn grandchildren, new babies who've been born since the start of this COVID-19 pandemic. And all I can say today is this. Every stage of this plan allows a loosening of restrictions. If we can keep at this, the more we can move through the plan, the more people who can see each other. So I'll give you an example. So from today, if you happen to live close to your grandchildren, it's safe to take a walk with them with social distancing. In 3 weeks' time, if we can move forward, it's safe for people who are cocooning to have someone in to visit their home. The reason we can't say you can safely hug a grandchild is because that act of love could actually cause somebody to get very, very sick. So yeah, we'll continue to provide guidance on this, but it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, another questioner, my daughter has a small baby, is struggling with postnatal depression with no support for the last 2 months other than video calls. It's not enough. I beg the government to think about all our mental health at the moment and let us see our immediate family members. We're not looking for big parties, just our children.
Absolutely. And I mean, what I would say in that case, without knowing all of the details, is there is very, very clear guidance and rules in relation to people needing to visit someone for care needs. So if you have a loved one who requires care, and from the sense of that caller, that person might be on their own, you should absolutely be in a position to visit them. So, I mean, it is very clear that you can visit somebody for care needs, for medical needs. And if somebody needs that sort of support that it sounds that caller might, that should absolutely be able to happen.
On a slightly different tack, we run a bouncy castle hire company, and we're finding it difficult to get clarity on whether we fit into the categories of businesses that can start working again from today, from Monday the 18th. Can you answer that question?
Well, I reckon it's very hard to socially distance on a bouncy castle. So I mean, while the bouncy castle might be outside, I would imagine the act of using a bouncy castle wouldn't be compliant
so
with keeping
no.
your 2 meters distance.
Okay.
So that is unfortunately a no for the moment.
Who does one ask for clarification if one doesn't fit into the named categories who can travel? I presume travel for work purposes. And this person cites, for example, inspections required for environmental law enforcement and monitoring.
So your employer in the first instance should be able to advise you. And if not, I think go to your line department or your regulator. But if you're not on the list, the likelihood is we do not expect you to be in a position to open today. I know the Department of Business, Enterprise and Innovation have been running a contact point for people with queries. And I'm sure that might be a useful place to check.
Can you ask the minister, why can we not continue doing kidney transplants in one of the private hospitals that are available here that are not yet needed for COVID patients? Northern Ireland, this caller says, have cleared a third of their transplant list. Her 33-year-old daughter is on the list here. Is it possible for her to travel north?
So yes, it is possible for people to travel outside the jurisdiction, but just to say for health reasons. Mm. But just to say this, I mean, what we're trying to do now, because the Irish people have gotten this virus into this place that we haven't had our hospitals overwhelmed, thank God, so far, we're obviously developing a non-COVID care plan. So how can we switch back on regular health services, and how can we use that extra capacity that we currently have to help with that? So Dr. Colm Henry, the chief doctor in the HSE, is leading on that plan, and I'd expect more details of that in the coming days.
And just on that, the Irish Examiner reporting this morning, Daniel McConnell, that the government is mulling over buying the private and nationalising the private hospitals.
So the government has no plan to nationalise private hospitals, but obviously a future government could make decisions in relation to how it wants to develop elective hospitals. I haven't had a chance to read that story yet. But at the moment, we obviously have the private hospital capacity rented effectively for the next number of months. There's a review period built in at the end of this month where we'll be deciding whether we require that further. And any future decisions will be decisions for the next government.
Can I just ask you finally about concerns around the construction sector, which returns to work today on a phased basis? I'm not entirely sure what that means. But does the relaxation in relation to construction include construction workers who are operating inside buildings? Because the plan refers specifically to outside workers.
Yeah, so look, this is an area, again, where I think people need to show a degree of common sense, because obviously all construction starts outdoors. And by the very nature of building, people end up indoors. So what there's been a huge amount of work undertaken between the Construction Industry Federation, government, employee representatives. So all construction sites can open from today, but the type of work that needs to take place on the construction sites needs to be appropriate to the public health guidance. So people need to be able to satisfy themselves that their workers can be kept safe, and workers need to be satisfied as well. We're not just taking the word of an employer in this regard. Every construction site, and indeed every business, needs to have a lead worker representative on this as well. So there will also be inspections, just to be very clear. So this is a big, big opportunity. We want the businesses that are open to be able to stay open. But that's only the case if people can comply with the public health guidance.
And construction workers who feel that they don't want to go back working in conditions which they may feel are a danger to them, can they stay away and still continue to get the payments, the COVID payments?
So obviously, if work is open and work is safe to go, people are expected to go to work. But there's very clear mechanisms in place between unions and employer representatives to ensure that workplaces are safe. And we're not, again, just taking the words of employers. We'll also be having a regulatory inspection framework led by the Health and Safety Authority, who can visit and inspect sites as well. So if anybody has any concerns, I would absolutely urge them to come forward and raise that through the mechanisms in place within their workplace. But to be clear, this is in the interest of business to get right too, because if they get this right, we want them to be able to stay open. But if they don't get it right, they will have to be shut down.
And what does a phased return to work mean? What's your understanding of what we'll see over the next number of days?
So I think
it looks like a lot of sites are hoping to get right back up and going full at it from
today.
Yeah,
but they're also going to have to do so in a manner that is safe. And I mean, I've certainly heard the construction industry talking about that might mean, for example, staggering shifts now that the weather is a bit better and the days are a bit longer. It might mean working a longer day and having fewer workers on site at a certain point in time. It has to mean things in relation to hand sanitisation. It has to mean things in relation to social distancing as well. So good public health practice has to become the norm on construction sites if this is to work. Otherwise, people will get very sick, and otherwise businesses won't be able to remain open, and we don't want that to be the case.
Minister for Health, Simon Harris, thank you very much for talking to us this morning here on Morning Ireland. The time, 8:31.